We're going to return to the series I was doing prior to my vacation, and we're going to look at getting through life's losses. Getting through life's losses is really kind of based on what Kathy and I have had the Lord's import into our lives since Ronnie was killed this last October. So this morning I'm going to be smiling. This morning I may weep a little bit. Yesterday was Ronnie's birthday, and it was a little difficult for us to go through that. But nonetheless, we had a lot of laughter remembering the character that he is and what he must be doing in heaven now to drive our Lord crazy. But there was a lot of tears, too, because we just miss our boy. And he is very, very special. So I hope that you have your message notes that were with you 5 weeks ago, and or you were able to get a new set when you came in this morning, and they're inside your worship guide. If you're a newcomer, we have filled in the blanks up to the point that we left off last time. And if you find this to be a particular help this morning, then I encourage you to go online and you can pick up the messages there and hear where we have been in detail rather than this short recap that I'm going to do this morning. This time in our lives that all of us have to go through, suffering, our Lord is using that to work on our lives. This series is not meant to be a downer at all. It is meant to be an upper for all of us, because our Heavenly Father works through all these kinds of things to build us up and to help us to become the children he wants you and me to become, the way we can be used by him as a tool in the lives of other people and come alongside to be an encourager in their life, not a depleter, but an encourager. This work of suffering I was reminded of this last week as I was reading through Romans, wanting to get ahead a little bit of what you and Kathy are going to be going through, girls. But in Romans 8, verse 17, you might want to write it down because it's not in your notes. The Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning. He uses the Apostle Paul to speak directly into our lives in this way. And since we are his children, we are heirs. We are his prized possessions. We are told in 1 Timothy in chapter 2. We even sang about that a little bit this morning. If you picked up on those lyrics that we use as musical prayers. And that is, we are his prized possessions. We've been set apart by him for his use, for his glory. He wants us to be those royal priests of his and to become those that encourage others to join us in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that they too can be citizens of this wonderful country, land, the new earth that he's going to create. He's going to be giving us a new heaven and a new earth. And we are to be these wonderful citizens in it, enjoying it. But he says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, he tells us, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. When I took you through the book of Philippians, Some of you will recall that because some of you described it in this way. We went through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Some of you talked about the fact that you became part of the church in the first chapter. And a year later, some of you became part of the church in the second chapter, because it took quite a while to get through this very practical, very happy letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. But in that very first chapter, we read, "And I am sure that God, who began this good work, this marvelous work within you, will continue his work until that final day when the Lord Jesus comes." He is working in us, and he is working in us through such things as our sufferings. He takes these things to build us up, to be more like him. And in that second chapter in Philippians, in chapter 13, God is working in you. He is working in each and every one of you who have come to faith. He is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Even when we go through something like the death of a child of ours, he is working in us to do wonderful things. While I was away on vacation, I love to snorkel and just swim in the ocean. So I try to be very much aware of what's going on around me. And with some goggles on, I'm constantly looking for one of those fish that have teeth, you know, a shark. I don't want to be its morning shish kebab or something. But I was reading this story while we were on vacation, and it's about a guy that went through a shark attack. The man actually said that what he was thinking about is that he was glad that he had the shark attack, if you can imagine. It turns out that when he was taken to the hospital to be treated for the shark bite, it was then that they discovered he had cancer, and they removed the tumor before it had metastasized. And so he was very happy that a shark had decided to try to make him a meal. Who would ever think that a shark attack could ever end up being a good thing? We have heard and we have read, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to us through this book of Romans and in chapter 8, and that our Lord works all things, shark attacks, together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Who would have ever thought? I would rather go to the doctor and give a blood test than have a shark decide he wants to help me out. We need to remember, family, that we are not undercomers. We are overcomers. As we have read in the past in 1 John in chapter 5, there we are overcomers, each of us who are in Christ because of our faith. Overcomers. We are victors, as we are told back in Romans in chapter 8 again. We are not victims. We are victors in Christ Jesus, our wonderful, wonderful Lord. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, and as I've shared when I took us through the book of James years ago, that I felt that those first two verses had to have been translated into English in a wrong way. It cannot mean what has been translated there. But in reality, the Greek is saying exactly that. what is being said. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You see, these things are not happening to you. They are happening for you as we go through these tough life losses that we face. In the original Greek, looking at James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3, where we see the many troubles we go through, it can be translated that we are actually going through many colored trials. In other words, trials of all kinds, not just the same kind, but different kinds. You might be going through a hardship right now that's different from the one that Kathy and I are going through presently. But even when things look bleak, when things are the darkest, God ultimately will work all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His pleasure. God is the one who is in control of all the circumstances concerning you and me, His kids, those of us who are truly born from on high. Remember, before Satan could bring a hardship into the life of Job and his wife, he needed to get our Heavenly Father's permission. He had to get permission first before he could take away all of Job and his wife's possessions. He had to get permission before he could take away Job and his wife's friends who watched over possessions that were all taken away. He had to get permission from our Heavenly Father to rob Job of his health. And then he had to get permission to work together some sort of weather phenomenon that wouldn't take away one of his sons, like Kathy and me. But he would lose, that is, Job and his wife, all of their children, all of them. Satan was given permission. The same thing is true of you. God knows what you and what Kathy and Ron can handle. He knows what we can't as well. But He knows what we can handle. And He reminds us of this in that wonderful letter sent to the Corinthian church family in chapter 10 and verse 13, where He said, no temptation, this word temptation can mean no test, no challenge, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Kathy and I are not the only one in the church family have had to say goodbye to one of their children. Gary Rasmussen had to say goodbye to one of his daughters when she was killed in a traffic accident. Mary Lou Smith had to say goodbye to one of her twin sons who was murdered by his roommate. God knows what you can handle. No temptation is overtaking you that is common to man. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let me say that as someone who has lost his boy. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, just as He did for Glorita. in the death of one of her sons. He'll provide the way of escape that you may be able, that you, each of you, may be able to endure it. He's always keeping an eye on us, family. Always has an eye on us. And his ultimate purpose is to conform you into the very image of his lovely, handsome, most gracious, merciful Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The big picture then, God's end game for you and for me is to make us more like him, to be more and more like this wonderful Savior we have. No matter what you're going through, know this, God is at work in your life. He has a plan. A wonderful plan for each of you and for Kath and for me. I know you want to be an imitator of him as we do. As we see in that wonderful letter written to the Ephesian church in chapter 5. And in those first two verses there, the Holy Spirit says to Paul, to me, and he says to you, be imitators of God. As beloved children, that word beloved, as objects of our Heavenly Father's love. Be imitators of him as beloved children and walk in agape, walk in love, walk in this way that other people know that you're seeking their highest good and at your expense. The reason we do this is because the Holy Spirit says that this will show that you are offering to him a fragrant offering and a sacrifice on your own behalf. To our gracious Abba Father. So we pick up getting through life's losses. I first shared with you what the Lord was sharing with me in this most recent horrific loss of our son. He taught me that loss is unavoidable there on page one of your notes. But healthy grief is a choice. And we went into great detail here. And I encourage you to either see the media team, if you haven't been with us, and see about purchasing a CD or go to the website. Because it's important that in times like this, we can turn aside from our Lord Jesus Christ and we can decide that we're not going to show him a positive mental, spiritual attitude. We're going to enter into unhealthy grief where we're having these pity parties that go on and we don't invite other people to those pity parties. But other people who come into our lives, they understand that we're miserable and we might even treat them miserable. Again, as I spoke earlier, we want to be refreshers. We want to be these people that are encouraging. We want to be these folks that are not depleters, but we want to be people that demonstrate these attitudes of gratitude for what our Heavenly Father has already done in our life and what he wants to do in our life through this particular test, this trial, this temptation that we are being led through at the moment. The second thing that he has taught me is that grief is healthy. It's good for us to help us move through the valley of the shadow. He wants us to mourn in a proper way. And I believe that's why he led me through the scriptures and us into this particular series that we have found ourselves in. He wants to be helpful to us when we're going through such times as some of you and Kathy and I have been asked to go through at this time. But he wants us to go through again in a healthy fashion. The third thing is Jesus grieves with us. He doesn't stand out there and go, oh, poor Ron, poor Kathy, poor Mary Lou, poor Glorita. No, he embraces us at these times. As I think all of you have had the opportunity to know in a time of loss that you have found yourself. He is so good about this. We saw in Psalm 34 and verse 18, Jesus is near us. Jesus is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He comes alongside us in this fashion because he loves us so very, very much. You'll find these things in those deep personal experiences. The fourth thing is that he brings healing to us, healthy healing in community. When Ronnie was killed, Kathy and I did not stay home the next several Sundays. But the very next Sunday, we found ourselves with you. We came to be in your midst. We came to thank him for our boy and for our girls and for our grandkids. We came and we wept in our midst with all of you, but we needed your fellowship. Far too many people exclude themselves from the church, the family. They stay home for weeks. Some stay home for months. We need to be together because there is this opportunity for the family to come together, as we saw in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so you did. You came alongside Kathy and I, and you bore our burden, and you loved on us, and you demonstrated the law of Christ. Agape love for us, for which we are forever grateful. And the fifth thing was, grief takes time. Grief just takes time. It's like a season. We've had summer, it's almost over. Summer, fall, winter, and then spring. Solomon shared with us in Ecclesiastes, as you'll recall in your notes, he said to us, there is a season for everything. And my season, Kathy's season, is not over yet. I don't know when he will bring it to an end, but I know that he will bring us a sense of greater comfort in the time ahead. So this morning, we're going to be picking up where I left off, and that is how to move through grief. The first thing we need to do, and I hope you'll listen, and I trust you'll do it, is that, number one, for me, and as I met with other people and talked with them, and they prayed for me and for Cap, and walked me through, I need to list the losses that I haven't grieved over. And I encourage you to start thinking in this vein. Some of you I've met with in my office, and we have talked and we have prayed together, and losses are still being, they're not being taken care of. So list losses that you've never grieved. I've shared with you in the beginning, there is a 10-year-old that needed, according to three other men, interesting, these three godly men identified each of these things. I needed to grieve and get through mom and dad's divorce. I just had to do that. It just held me back. I needed to grieve and I needed to work through the war, especially the war in Laos. I needed to work through the evil that I found in working the streets as a police officer. I needed to work through things that my brother Donnie, who I don't think any of you ever met, but Kelly and my brother Donnie and I had some things that had not been taken care of before he died. And the loss of my former career in law enforcement. And then, most recently, the loss of Ronnie. All of these other things have been listed. They have been worked on. I believe these major losses are things that I will work on for the rest of my life. But I've identified them, and I've been working through them. And it's made things healthy for me in a mindset. It's made things healthy to work through them. So look at your notes. Action step. You need to go back and really take a little inventory of your life. You need to look at your life and reconsider where have I major losses in my life. Maybe you went off to war. Maybe you've experienced rejection. Maybe you miss some loved ones in your life, or a long-term illness, or you lost your home, or you lost your job, or whatever. What are the things, what are the losses in your life that you said, I'm really not going to spend the time grieving them. I'm going to be like a running back. I'm going to simply take the grief. I'm going to hug it to my chest. I'm going to bury my head down. And I do hope that tackle and guard has opened up a hole so I can get through it. But how many times have you gone through the hole only to find out it wasn't big enough and to be hit by those on the other team and knock you for a loop? This is what will happen if you're not working with a loss in a biblical way, this way that our Lord is pointing out to us. This is where I got stuck. This is where you may get stuck in the valley of the shadow because you're not working on your grief in a healthy way. So I want to encourage you to start listing the losses that you have, these griefs. In other words, I can't get past it until I acknowledge it. I can't get past the loss until I acknowledge it. Would you say that with me? I can't get past it unless I acknowledge it. Let me ask you, how many of you would like to know that in your future, that the Lord Jesus, in a major loss, is going to bless you? By a show of hands, how many want to know he's going to bless you? Okay, it's pretty much unanimous. Look at your notes. Jesus said, grief is the key to blessing. Well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Grief is the key to blessing. Notice the verse. Jesus said of this on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed. This word blessed in the Greek text is makarios, and it means to be happy, to be joyfully happy. Blessed, joyfully happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So it's important that we have a healthy grief that we go through when we suffer a major loss. Remember what we saw in Psalm 34:18. He is near the brokenhearted. He draws near to you, and he is going to save those crushed in spirit. The question here then, as we look at this verse, is who gets comforted? They. And who are the they? Those who have the courage to mourn. Those who have the courage to mourn. The question here is, what is Jesus saying here? Cover-ups do not get comforted. Cover-ups don't get comforted. If I cover up the pain, if I ignore the pain, I deny the pain, I pretend it doesn't exist, I'm too afraid of my emotions, then I don't get comforted. And if I don't get comforted, I don't get blessed. I don't receive the makarios. I'm not going to be happy again. Blessed are those who mourn. My guess is that in your life, your unmourned losses are simply still out there, and they're waiting. They're waiting to go through a healthy grief. Look at your notes. What you need to do if you're afraid to grieve about a loss in your life, you need to claim the 23rd Psalm. The most famous psalm in the Bible. In Psalm 23 and verse 4, it says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. His rod, his staff, these tools he uses to protect me, to guide me, to teach me. That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, but I want you to look at it as if you have never seen the verse before. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, circle, walk through. Not stop, not sit down. I walk through. You're walking through it. You are not going to stay and be stuck in this valley of the shadow of death. What I'm asking you to do is to consider the things maybe you've never grieved, to compile that list. I want you to walk through the valley. You're not going to stay there. You're not going to stay stuck in there for the rest of your life. You're going to walk through the valley. But you've never walked through this valley regarding some of your losses. And so there you've remained. That's why growing spiritually becomes difficult. It's why some of the habits we have collected continue to be part of our habits, and we know that they're not good habits. Circle the word shadow, would you please? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When your kids, you know, shadows sometimes can be frightening. I can remember as a little kid finding my shadow. As I looked on the pavement, here is this dark thing out in front of me, and it's really long. And I took a step back, I can recall, and it followed me. It was a little unnerving. What is that thing? I had to ask my parents, what is that? It's your shadow. What's a shadow? Well, it can't hurt you. Just know that. Your shadow can't hurt you. Nobody's ever died because of their shadow. You're not going to die in the valley of the shadow of death. So you're not dying, understand. You're still alive. It's not, as I said, going to kill you. So why might you be afraid in the valley of the shadow? Not once in the Bible are we told, weep not. Ron, don't you ever weep. Scripture never says that. Scripture never says, sorrow not. I know Ron's your brother, Kelly, but sorrow not. Or are we told, we are never told to grieve not. We are never told that. But look at your notes. We are told to fear not. In fact, 65 times in the Bible, we're told, fear not. Why? I'm not sure. But there's one for every day of the year. Because grief doesn't paralyze. Fear does. Grief does not paralyze, fear does. And our Lord has made it clear. He said time and time to our church family through message after message, I am with you. I'm with each of you individually. I am with your family. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He told us, multiple times, I will never desert any of you. Not a single one of you will I desert. I am with you. So grief gets you through the valley of the shadow. It'll get you through. And it'll get you through, and you will be wiser, you'll be more mature spiritually. It's a good thing. So I need to list the losses I've never grieved. I need to list the losses I've never grieved. Would you say that with me? I need to list the losses I've never grieved. And I usually say, get it? Good. Number two, if you're serious about getting unstuck, then you'll be back next Sunday. And we will go through number two. In the meantime, I want to encourage you to live victoriously, not on your own strength, but in the power of that wonderful Holy Spirit who lives in each of you who have received Jesus as your Redeemer. So important, family. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us how we can grieve in a very healthy way and get through the valley of the shadow. Sometimes it feels like death for some of us. Thank you for the way that you've come alongside those of us that have recognized these awful, what we perceive to be awful losses. We are blessed that you love us so much, that you are our shepherd, that you don't wander off, but that you walk with us every moment of every day. You're the absolute best. The best person that has ever been or ever will be. We thank you that you are the one true living God, and as our Father, we can come to you and know that you want to hold us, as it were, in your arms, and that your Son, our joint heir, our Savior and Redeemer, he has so graciously forgiven us all our sins by taking them all on himself and said that we are now set free from these sins. We are set free from damnation and hell because we have asked your Son, Father, to forgive us of our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. And how we thank you that upon our confession and repentance of sin, you've given us this marvelous, wonderful paraclete, the Holy Spirit, he who comes alongside, he who will never desert or leave us, but lives in us and speaks to us about the directions we need to go, the losses we need to grieve, speaks to us about the life and the plan that you have for us. So thank you for meeting us this morning. And out of your word, giving us knowledge and wisdom to go into this new week ahead of us smarter, more mature, spiritually speaking. We love you, Father. We love you very much. And it's in the lovely, loving name of your Son we offer this prayer. Amen.